You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
1,000 during next month's Career Day on September 9th. Chipotle will promote the hiring blitz with ads on social media websites and the music streaming service Pandora. This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
The man who pioneered and shaped the field of Jewish communal service has died. Gerald Bubas died at his home in Los Angeles late last week. He established the School of Jewish Communal Service in 1968 on the Los Angeles campus of the Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion. For more than 20 years, he developed and sustained a program to educate Jewish professionals to serve the Jewish community. He wrote more than a dozen books and some 170 academic papers and popular articles on the Jewish family and Jewish identity in the modern world. Gerald Bubas was 91. Doctors are testing a novel approach to repair damaged knee cartilage. They're harvesting healthy cartilage cells from a patient and using them to grow new cartilage in a lab. Dr. David Flanagan of Ohio State's Wexner Medical Center explains how it works.
It's a three-dimensional, almost like a honeycomb scaffold, and that's what they put the cells in, and they grow those cells within the scaffold so it starts making cartilage.
Dr. Flanagan says it's a great new alternative to surgery to remove damaged cartilage. Once knee cartilage is damaged, it doesn't heal or regrow on its own. And over time, it can erode and lead to osteoarthritis. Danny was number one. Now, Kilo is number two. Tropical depression Kilo is churning in the Central Pacific and could become a hurricane later in the week. The storm is currently located about 700 miles southwest of Honolulu, but forecasters say it could move northward and possibly affect the western Hawaiian Islands in several days. Join us online at USA Headline News for more special interest stories, news, and headlines. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hiding Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, and I am the principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Blue Panther Business Partners offers practical advice, hands-on assistance to the business owner who never has time to improve his or her business. We do that by accomplishing your wish list. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology so that consumers seeking solutions for personal or business use can better informed when making purchasing decisions or hiring individuals to carry out those technological decisions. Each week, we'll focus on topics about technology. Segments will include the news, the latest buying advice, latest apps, hardware and software, and answering your questions. Contact me during the show. Go to Tech Today on Facebook. You can message me there. Good morning at Hunterdon is my email address. The phone number here, 908-237-0410. And to contact me outside of the show, visit bluepantherbiz.com. Well, here we are. It's August 25th, and lots of great things still happening in the news that are not stock market related. And we have tons of things to talk about that are technology related. So let's see what's here to talk about. Lots of great things. So the first one I have here is many of us continue to have our smartphones, and one of the banes of our existence with smartphones is you continue to have more intense apps running all the time or using them a lot. And most of the time with any of your smartphones, the real battery killer is the screen. So it's one thing to come up with a battery that's actually going to last, but it's another thing to realize that you're going to use up that battery charge and need to get it charged again. And now smartphone manufacturers are coming up with better ways to quickly charge your phone. And the best two right now are Asus, and Samsung make the fastest charging smartphones. Written by John Fingus yesterday, August 24th, he says that your smartphone's battery life is no doubt very important to you, but its charging time matters too. Just ask anyone who had mere minutes to top off a phone before heading out. So who offers the best recharge rates then? Tom's Guide might have an answer. It recently conducted a charging speed test to determine which phones will deliver the most energy when you're in a rush. In short, you'll probably want to make a beeline toward either Asus Zenfone 2 or Samsung's Galaxy S6. The Zenfone 2 is the fastest in short bursts, giving you a 32% power in just 15 minutes. The Galaxy S6 is faster overall, however, hitting 100% after 1 hour and 22 minutes. Of course, the performance depends on not just a phone's technology, but the size of the battery. Samsung wins partly because it has a relatively small 2,550 millionth pack compared to the 3,000 millionth plus batteries of other phones with speedy refills, such as the Zenfone, G4, Droid Turbo, and Nexus 6. While you may be the first to unplug your phone if you have an S6, you may also be the first to plug it in again. One thing's for certain, though, if you don't have a quick charging at all, you'll notice a difference. Both Apple's iPhone 6 and the OnePlus 2 were well behind the front runners, taking up 73 minutes longer to hit peak capacity. That might not be a deal-breaker if you ever go hunting for a wall outlet at the end of the night, but it's something to consider if you frequently find yourself running out of juice in midday. So it's something to consider. It's kind of a cost-benefit analysis with your phones. The battery life, but how much they actually use the juice, how much you are actually using it, whether you're on the go or whether you are stationary most of the time and can always get that backup opportunity to plug your phone in. One of the things I tend to do now is you can always have one of those small chargers. It's like a little battery pack that you can plug into. So I always have one of those connected or charged up and ready to go. So if you are running low on battery power, you can always plug that in and gain some more power until you get to that next outlet. I use a Note 4 Edge, and there are times you have to keep track of the fact that a number of apps are still running. You have to close them. So that's another thing. You have to make sure you're your habits of opening apps and you're closing them so that you're not using extra battery life for no reason. So all those things come into a factor. And one of the things that's very interesting with the Samsungs is they have fast charging. And so if you turn off the phone and plug it in, you will get a very quick battery charge in a matter of minutes. And that is quite nice, I must admit. So there you have it. Another thing to consider when you're making a purchase of a cell phone. Well, speaking of cell phones and whether you would like to find a new app that would suck up that extra battery power and need a charge real quick, an article here by Wired says, and written by Nick Stockton in Science on the 24th of August, he says, an Amazonian test for a smartphone microscope. Yes, now smartphones can possess microscope apps. So field work be your folly, the specimens be your burden, hiking, stooping, bottling, bagging, cataloging, and then lugging back to the laboratory is a time-honored tradition dating back to the earliest days of microscope-endowed natural philosophy. Good riddance. Last year, researchers debuted a pocket-sized origami microscope and sent out 10,000 fold scopes to scientists, students, and science enthusiasts around the world. One of these scientists used a fold scope for his Amazonian research and gave us some of his field data. As far as stress tests go, you can't get much nastier than squishing bugs onto slides while hiking through a muddy rainforest. Microscopes are clunky enough, heavy enough, and fragile enough that there's rarely enough room for one in a field work inventory. Even worse, microscopes in the tropics are constantly assaulted by the humidity, which allows fungi to grow on the lenses and tiny moving parts. At one point, there was a microscope at the research center, but it just got wrecked by jungle humidity, says Aaron Pomerantz, who studies insects at the Tambopata Research Center in the Peruvian rainforest. To avoid those issues, scientists usually just ship home samples that look just much more interesting. But that can be a serious drawback for medical experts in the developing world who are trying to track, treat, and contain disease outbreaks. With these problems in mind, a few Stanford scientists invented the Foldscope, which uses magnets to latch onto your smartphone camera and magnify its images. Made of paper, it's light enough to lug without effort and cheap enough the raw materials for a single scope amount to less than a dollar that if it gets wrecked, it's not a big deal. Just pull another one out and of a plastic baggie and continue your inquiry. Pomerantz says collecting data from his smartphone lets him travel lighter, hike further, and catalog more bugs, which is awesome, because if there's one thing rainforests have in abundance, it's insects. You thought I was going to say rain, huh? This is the same stretch of forest, for instance, where in 2012 some of Pomerantz's colleagues discovered a spider that uses leaves, debris, and dead insect parts to build fake spiders. For particularly lively specimens, the microscope can even take video. His model has two lenses, one that magnifies at 100 times and another at 480 times. Because it's made of paper, set your expectations accordingly. It's not going to replace a microscope that costs hundreds of dollars, says Pomerantz, but for doing quick and dirty critter IDs, looking at things that are a couple of millimeters big, it's very useful. Researchers have also testing another version of the Foldscope meant to help diagnose diseases like malaria, Chagas disease, and Leishmaniasis, which much higher magnification rates. You want one? I want one. Everyone should want one. Think of all the things you'd like to do under the microscope if you had a Foldscope in your pocket. But you and the majority of the world's population will have to wait until the Stanford lab that invented the scope finishes scaling their invention. Though I suppose if you're in the mood for some scientific reproductivity, you could follow the steps from Foldscope's original peer-reviewed instructions. So how about that? You got a way now of seeing a microscope from a smartphone. And in the not too distant past, I was talking about how doctors now are using smartphones to pretty much text all your vitals. We had a gentleman that's out in San Diego that uses the smartphone to do cardiograms and check pulses and check sugar levels. So right now on your smartphone, the latest ones, you can check your pulse and how hydrated you are. So they continue to expand our local research and medical data so that we can keep track of things. It just keeps getting better and better. The more we invent, the better off we are. So there you have it, those two things right there. Smartphones and smartphone batteries. And so we'll be back. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more of Tech Today in just a few minutes, right after these messages.
Unionville Vineyards is the perfect destination for wine tastings and tours, corporate events, birthday parties, or your special day. Located in East Amwell, New Jersey, Unionville Vineyards offers an escape from the rush of daily life and a chance to relax in the beautiful countryside. Our tasting room is open 7 days a week, 12 to 5 p.m., excluding major holidays. For more information, contact us at unionvillevineyards.com or call us at 908-788-0400.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Welcome back to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. You know, I kid about Joe and Tony, who are the Weichert real estate guys, and they do What's Going On in Real Estate on Wednesdays at 5 o'clock. And you didn't think I would be able to get away with a tech show and somehow not include something about the crazy markets, did you? So somehow we can find a way to combine the global stock sell-off with how it will affect technology. And how is it affecting it? Well, it's more of an entrepreneurial thing, but it's through crowdfunding. And for those of you who are not familiar with crowdfunding, it's a number of websites now that give you the ability to put out an idea and put out the proposal in a business plan-like format. Doesn't have to be as extensive as a typical business plan, but by putting it out there and allowing the world to see it, you can ask people for money and help people. People will help you fund your project. Now, usually, what you have to do is somehow some type of freebies or some type of extras to the people who are going to help you fund your project for the first number of people. So you need to be pretty creative in your marketing strategy. So the question is, how is the global stock market sell-off affecting crowdfunding? Well, Catherine Clifford of Entrepreneur Staff on entrepreneur.com says that crowdfunding has been celebrated as the grand democratization of finance, a mechanism for anyone with a business idea to raise money from their peers outside the bureaucracy and nepotism of more traditional fundraising paths. But while this is of the people, for the people, by the people approach to raise money may see itself divorced from anything happening on Wall Street, that's hardly the case. On Monday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average ended the day down 588 points after opening with a terrifying 1,000-point plunge. In the last 5 days, the major U.S. indexes have lost more than 9% of their value as global growth concerns roll the markets. That's the kind of volatility that should worry investors of all stripes. It also is just the beginning, according to Aninda Gauss, professor of IT and marketing at NYU's Stern School of Business. Gauss says recent stock market volatility is indicative of a bear market that is likely to last about 3 years. Quote, I am pretty confident this is the beginning of a much-needed correction, he says. The Dow has been steadily climbing since February of 2009. For entrepreneurs looking to raise money on sites like Kickstarter or Indiegogo, the volatility could result in fewer or smaller donations. After all, watching the Dow dive off a cliff doesn't do much for consumer nerves. And investing in the next creative, neat gadget on Kickstarter falls into the category of discretionary spending that is first to go when a person is feeling anxious about their financial life. People are four times more likely to react negatively to a 1,000-point drop in the stock market than 1,000-point gain, and that psychology and mentality is going to spread across the markets. Kickstarter declined to comment for the story. As even more immediate concern, perhaps, is in the equity-based crowdfunding where investors put down cash in exchange for a portion of a company. Currently, to participate in equity crowdfunding, an investor has to be accredited, meaning that he or she meets certain wealth criteria. These investments are much larger than the $25 for a tote bag donations that populate Kickstarter. Quote, if you think about the equity crowdfunding market, so people investing in startups or small businesses, what may happen if the market continues to go down is, of course, that there will be less liquidity available and so less investment, said Christian Catalini, who is the assistant professor of technology innovation and entrepreneurship at MIT's Sloan School of Management. Unlike Gauss, however, Catalini is much less certain that this recent turbulence on Wall Street is indicative of any larger trend just yet. It is too early to say if this is a situation that will deteriorate to get worse or if the market will be able to correct itself, he says. Some investors may see a prolonged downturn as an opportunity to double down on their investment in startups. In a three-year bear market, an accredited investor may determine that investing in startups has the potential to pay off more quickly than investing in stocks. As Gauss explains, investors may determine that investing $1 million across 10 startups might make more sense than investing $1 million in the stocks during a bear market. For some, it will make some more sense to invest in the stock market, but for some, it will actually make more sense to invest in startups, he says. To be sure, equity crowdfunding only attracts a sliver of the population to begin with. Only 3 to 3.5% of the 8.5 million accredited investors in the U.S. put any of their money in startups, according to Gauss. If no surprise, the crowdfunding platforms see the recent stock market volatility as a good time to promote the benefit of crowdfunding. Rory Eakin, co-founder of the online equity crowdfunding platform CircleUp, says that consumer product startups, his platform features, are safe bets compared to volatile stocks and tech startups. We believe a correction in prices in the public market will push investors to qualify to quality companies and sectors with proven business models and rational valuations. Meanwhile, Slava Rubin, co-founder of the donation-based platform Indiegogo, says that continued turmoil in the markets could make it harder for entrepreneurs to get access to capital in more traditional ways, pushing them toward crowdfunding. So the jury's out. Everybody's got a different opinion as to how this is all going to play out. I wouldn't be a good idea for me to comment at this point as to whether we're going into a bear or a bull market. There are inflection points that make that determination, in my opinion. And so those inflection points will show themselves in the very near future. But in the meantime, it's something to consider from a financial and or technological point of view. If you're looking to get an idea, perhaps you will get more people to come and take it on. Otherwise, we might unfortunately feel a downturn, and therefore the innovation might take a stall. We'll find out. Moving on from there, talking about innovation, it looks like Google's Nest has a new thermostat coming. Well, what are we talking about? Well, Business Insider Alexei Oreskovich on Yahoo Finance says that Google's Nest Labs has a mysterious new wireless product in the pipeline, which could be a new thermostat, according to a recent regulatory filing. The company revealed in filings with the FCC on Thursday that it has a new wireless device under development. Nest was mum about specifics in the filing, and as is customary, asked the agency to temporarily keep confidential any photos of the product, as well as the user manual and other potential telltale information. One possibility is that the new wireless device is a new version of its smart thermostat, the product that Nest first released back in 2012. In June, Nest revamped its other products, unveiling a new version of its security video camera and a new version of its smoke alarm. The thermostat is due for an upgrade, and it could be the first fresh Nest product as the organization begins its new life under Google's revamped Alphabet corporate structure. Nest, which is led by former Apple executive Tony Fadell, will be one of several standalone companies, along with Google's life sciences business and Google's high-speed internet access business, that will all live under the umbrella of the Alphabet parent company when the change happens later this year. There are two other clues in the FCC filing that suggest a new version of this so-called learning thermostat is on the way. The image of the device's information label that Nest provided, see image on the right, is round, similar to the company's puck-shaped thermostat. And the product's identification code seems to suggest it's related to the company's existing thermostat and not an entirely new product. The new wireless device is identified in the filings at ZQAT30. The previous version of the Nest was ZQAT20. Notice that both devices share the AT in common. That distinguishes them from ZQAS10, the first version of Nest product smoke alarm, and the ZQAS30, the recently introduced update to the smoke alarm. A new Nest thermostat could also explain why Apple has begun pulling the Nest from its product shelves. There has been speculation that Apple removed the Nest thermostats for competitive reasons, but it's possible that Apple was simply clearing the way for a new version of the product. We've reached out to Nest for comment, and we'll update if we hear anything back. So another way to get a smart home, by having a wireless thermostat that you can implement in your home. We're going to take another quick break, do the news and weather, and we'll be back with more of Tech Today right after that. We'll talk to you in a few minutes. We'll be right back.
USA Headline News, I'm Ron Taylor. Louisiana State Trooper who was shot over the weekend has died. State Police Colonel Mike Edmondson says his fellow troopers got to say their last goodbyes.
We told him how proud we were to serve alongside of him. His badge means so many different things. It's the most precious thing in our uniform, and nobody wore this badge more proudly.
Veteran Trooper Stephen Vincent died yesterday. President Obama has reportedly given Vice President Joe Biden the go-ahead on a possible presidential run. The two had lunch together yesterday, and Obama gave Biden his blessing. Things are looking up on Wall Street. Futures are soaring, and European stock markets are bouncing back after what economists are calling Black Monday. However, China's Shanghai Composite Index lost nearly 7.75% today, falling to its lowest close in 8 months. The IndyCar world is mourning the loss of driver Justin Wilson today. The 37-year-old died in the hospital yesterday after suffering a severe head injury during a race Sunday at Pocono Raceway. This is USA Headline News.
For over 75 years, GEICO's been about consistency, as in we've consistently helped people save money on their car insurance. And to prove it, we'll air one of our first radio commercials from over 75 years ago.
At GEICO, we're all about consistency, as in we consistently help people save money on their car insurance. To prove it, you can call GEICO. Call us today, call us tomorrow, call us 75 years from now.
That was way more consistent than I expected.
GEICO, saving people money for over 75 years.
Welcome to Staples.
Hi, Staples guy. I need to get my kids ready for back to school.
Well, Staples has everything they need at low prices, like comp books for just 50 cents, so they'll be 110% ready.
Wait, that's 10% more ready than totally ready.
Yep.
That extra 10% evens it all out.
Sorry?
Well, I'm usually 10 minutes late getting them to school, so.
That doesn't even it out.
Yeah, sure it does.
Make low prices happen. Make 110% ready happen. Staples, make more happen. Right now, Staples 16-gigabyte flash drives are just $5.99.
Offer valid while supplies last. Limit 5 per customer. Ends 8/29/15.
GOP presidential candidate Carly Fiorina says the three Americans who were honored by France for helping stop an attack on a train are some of the best the nation has to offer.
They are inspiring, and thank goodness for them. And you know what's also inspiring about these three young men? Their humility, their modesty. They're not pounding their chests. They're not talking about how great they are.
French President François Hollande presented the Legion of Honor to American boyhood buddies Alex Carlatos, Spencer Stone, and Anthony Sadler, and Briton Chris Norman. They rushed and subdued a man armed with an AK-47 when he went from car to car shooting Friday.
Part of heroism and leadership is modesty and humility, and they demonstrate that. They're the best that America has to offer.
Chipotle Mexican Grill wants to hire as many as 4,000 new workers in one day. The fast food chain announced today it's looking to expand its staff by up to 4,000 during next month's Career Day on September 9th. Chipotle will promote the hiring blitz with ads on social media websites and the music streaming service Pandora. This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
The man who pioneered and shaped the field of Jewish communal service has died. Gerald Bubas died at his home in Los Angeles late last week. He established the School of Jewish Communal Service in 1968 on the Los Angeles campus of the Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion. For more than 20 years, he developed and sustained a program to educate Jewish professionals to serve the Jewish community. He wrote more than a dozen books and some 170 academic papers and popular articles on the Jewish family and Jewish identity in the modern world. Gerald Bubas was 91. Doctors are testing a novel approach to repair damaged knee cartilage. They're harvesting healthy cartilage cells from a patient and using them to grow new cartilage in a lab. Dr. David Flanagan of Ohio State's Wexner Medical Center explains how it works.
It's a three-dimensional, almost like a honeycomb scaffold, and that's what they put the cells in, and they grow those cells within the scaffold so it starts making cartilage.
Dr. Flanagan says it's a great new alternative to surgery to remove damaged cartilage. Once knee cartilage is damaged, it doesn't heal or regrow on its own. And over time, it can erode and lead to osteoarthritis. Danny was number one. Now, Kilo is number two. Tropical depression Kilo is churning in the Central Pacific and could become a hurricane later in the week. The storm is currently located about 700 miles southwest of Honolulu, but forecasters say it could move northward and possibly affect the western Hawaiian Islands in several days. Join us online at USA Headline News for more special interest stories, news, and headlines. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Welcome back to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Well, we were talking about cell phones at the beginning of the show, and one of the things that people use their cell phones for significantly is the camera. Turns out, according to Yahoo.com, that an author of Reuters says that Apple to replace some iPhone 6 Plus cameras because of blurry photos. So Apple said it would replace a limited number of iPhone 6 Plus phone cameras due to faulty back cameras that take blurry photos. The affected photos were mostly sold in a four-month period between September 2014 and January 2015. Apple said on its website, the company, whose shares were set to open at the lowest year, and we don't really care about the shares, do we? Apple said it would place the phone's camera free of charge if it takes blurry photos and falls into a particular serial number range. Eligible serial numbers can be checked on Apple's website, which is apple.co, 1KAXC$9. That's a tiny URL. The story corrects headline that paragraph to say replace. So Anya George Therakin was reporting on this. So you need to go and check the Apple website if you are think you're experiencing bad camera photos. Perhaps you'll fit into that category and then they'll replace it for free. Quite honestly, I've seen Apple's cameras photos. And I don't know what it is, and maybe it's the people who are using them, but they look like sepia to me. I don't think they come with the same clarity and the same color saturation that other cameras do. So if that's some of the things that you're not exactly happy with, maybe you need to think about switching to a new phone. And so that brings me to another conversation. After 2 years of Android, is it time to switch back to iPhone? This was a ZDNet article. David Gerwitz looks at the many factors that go into deciding on a phone and compares the two ecosystems category by category. So a little over 2 years ago, he had switched from an iPhone running iOS 6 to Android. At that time, the Android phone, which is Samsung Galaxy S4, had so many capabilities it made my iPhone feel like it came from the 1990s. But this is 2 years later, and iOS has updated tremendously, going past iOS 7, iOS 8, to the upcoming release of iOS 9. The phones have changed a lot, too. I had an iPhone 4S. The expected upcoming iPhone 6S, iPhone 6S Plus, are vastly improved over his old little iPhone 4S. So after 2 years of truly enjoying the Android experience, is it time to switch back? Let's explore the issues. He says, first of all, customization. One of my biggest complaints of iOS back in the day was the lack of any sort of customization. The launcher was always the launcher. The baffling always caps keyboard
was the one you were stuck with. Sharing among apps was very limited. There was no tweaking whatsoever for customization. Groups of apps were stored in a folder with a few tiny icons rather than a nice picture. I think I hated that the most of all, because to see the little icons, you had to take out a magnifying glass. By contrast, Android phones were infinitely customizable. You could replace the launcher, customize the skin, program almost anything with Tasker. The degree of freedom within Android ecosystem was breathtaking after years of being trapped in iOS. But that was then. Since iOS 8, the iPhone has a lot more open. You can finally choose your own keyboard and even use swipe gestures. Amazingly, when you press shift, you can actually tell whether you're going to type capital letters or lowercase. The iOS has added share sheets and customization for notifications, making the use of the system far more flexible and less frustrating. You still can't replace the launcher, and unless it changes in iOS 9, you're still stuck with the tiny icons on folders, but otherwise iOS is less rigid than previous versions. How about screen size? Here is one of the big wins in the Android world of 2013. iPhone was still a small 3.5-inch display, meaning Android screens were growing. My Galaxy S4 had a 5-inch screen, since seemed a vast football field compared to the little iPhone. Today, of course, the iPhone 6 Plus is 5.5 inches and can hold its own with any phablet. It's no longer necessary to go Android if you simply want a bigger screen. How about battery life? Without a doubt, the replaceable battery in the pre-2015 Samsung made my Android choice clear. Yes, there are other Android devices who replace the battery, but most of the top-tier Android phones are not opting for sealing the battery inside the phone, which is how Apple has always done it. This means we're now reliant solely on the quality of the built-in battery, and none of the Android manufacturers have reached that level of battery technology that Apple packs in its iPhone 6 Plus. This could well be a problem because now you're entirely reliant on not only how good the battery is at purchase, but how well it stands up to the test of time. Our Samsung S4's batteries didn't make the 2 years, but we easily replaced them. Now, if your battery doesn't last the 2 years it takes to pay off your phone, you're toting a boat anchor. So in this case, where the other two categories everything was a draw, Samsung wins in this case. How about inductive charging? One of the best features of my old S4 seemed to be the inductive charging back I was able to add to the phone. Unfortunately, an overnight sitting on a charging cradle didn't top off the phone's battery, so I went back to plugging the phone into a cable. Today, Samsung has built inductive charging and also fast charging via cable into its new Note 5 and S6 phones. These new charging technologies certainly beat out what's in the iPhone 6, but who knows, Apple might introduce inductive charging into the iPhone 6S, but somehow I doubt it. So Samsung and Android devices win that category. Security? How should I put this? Let's quote Ars Technica's Ron Amadeo. "We're awaiting the Android's inevitable security Armageddon. Ron's premise is that because there are so many phones and so many vendors, and then so many carriers, Android updates are taking a much longer time to filter down to actual phones and their users than they should. He also posts that some of the older devices will never see an update. We are constantly seeing massive Android security flaws. Stage Fright is only the latest example. This bad boy can power your phone simply by receiving a text message. There is some good news in the Samsung and LG claim that they will start to issue regular security patches, and they may be making good on their promise. His old S4 got a security update just this weekend. It wasn't called that Verizon called it a software update that will improve the performance of your phone, but buried deep in the descriptor was the line Android security patches and for what was patched, and if that included Stage Fright, Verizon certainly isn't going out of its way to clarify. So then there's Apple. For all Apple's annoyance, and Apple's is annoying, don't argue, you know it's true. Apple owns the update process. Regardless of carrier, Apple pumps out updates when Apple wants to pump out updates. Combine that with the fact that iOS applications are inherently more secure than Android applications due to sandboxing. I gave a long technical lecture on a while back. The Apple leads the pack. Then add Apple Pay, which is going to have a strong head start over the individual payment services offered by each carrier and manufacturer, and Apple is the standout. There is no doubt that in some narrow ways Android is getting better, but it is enough. Even the complexity of that ecosystem and the lack of centralized control, it's a recipe for disaster. So Apple takes that category. How about the Google ecosystem compatibility? He says, this one focuses on how well Android and Apple work for those entrenched in the Google ecosystem. Those of us who use Gmail, Google Calendar, Google Voice, and so forth. The good news for users on either platform is that Google makes excellent apps for both iOS and Android. For Apple users, Google has gone the extra mile and added an iOS 8 and probably iOS 9 features to its apps, making the Google ecosystem fit well within the Apple environment. To a point, Apple is integrating a lot of its own calendaring and mail features into Siri, especially the predictive features coming out of iOS 9, and you can bet Google's apps won't be included. Siri isn't yet open to developers. Why? So if you love Siri, you better love the Apple products. As for Google Voice, I looked into that in some depth recently. My conclusion was that if you're a voicemail friend, you'll need to stick with Google Voice. Otherwise, you may want to just port your Google Voice number to your phone, or just leave it as is. Google Voice works reasonably well with both the dialer on the iPhone and Android devices, and not well at all on any related software or wearables. Basically, Google Voice is a second-class citizen, equally on both Android and iOS. As for those of you who love the Google Now card interface, that also works on iOS. So if you're an iOS user, you could use Google Now and the new predictive Siri features to let your phone tell you what to do with twice as much nagging. Overall ecosystem, when I'm talking about the overall ecosystem, I'm talking about the world that spins around the phones themselves. Everything from apps to cases to wearables to fitness devices. Here's the thing. For the most popular Android phones, there are a lot of aftermarket goodies. For anything but the most popular, though, there aren't. On the other hand, everything is available for iPhones. They are a huge market, and no vendor is dumb enough to ignore iPhone compatibility. So if you want the best choices, you're going to want to go with Apple. This is still true of apps. While apps are excellent on the Android side of the world, it's true, too, that iOS apps are often developed first and often fleshed out more. You'll see them more and more with home control and health-related apps because Apple has released APIs for HomeKit and HealthKit, and while there are similar services with Google, you know every single vendor is going to support the iPhone and the possibility more completely. So here's how it works out. If you buy one of the latest Samsung flagship phones, you'll see the aftermarket support that might come close to Apple. If you buy anything else, you'll see a lot less support. There is, however, one area where Android blows away Apple's choice of wearables. If you go with Apple, you're going with Apple Watch. If you're going for a smartwatch, for even glasses, Android has a wide range of choices. And then there's price. And when you look at unlock 32 gig Galaxy Note 5 from Best Buy at $699, the 16 gig version of an Apple iPhone is $749, and the 64 gig is $849. The iPhone 6 Plus has only 1 gig of RAM compared to the luxurious 4 gig in the Note 5. So strictly from a hardware bang for your buck, the Samsung product has a lot more than Apple. But then there's the low end. You can take Android pretty much as cheap as you want. Take, for example, the upcoming Moto X style Pure Edition. Starting at $399 for 16 gig, you're looking at a huge price savings over the top tier products. Granted, the odds are that the Moto's camera won't be as good as Moto has historically nerfed its cameras, but there's still something to be said for a cheaper option. So the winner is Android in that category. So his conclusion, it doesn't sound like it's definitive, but it sounds like you could make a case that 2 years ago he was definitely Android. It sounds now that he could, it's a draw in most cases. But yeah, he says he's still not sure. He hates the idea of going back to Apple, but I do favor the security, battery, and ecosystem benefits. Quite honestly, I think you are a Apple disciple or you're not, and I am not. I don't like Apple products. I appreciate their quality, but they limit what I want to do. And Android and the world of Windows gives me a lot more choices. For some people, you just don't want the headache. You want the thing to work. You want it to work for 2 years, and that's it. And so if that's the case, Apple is your product. Go out and get it. Enjoy it. It won't fail you. But if you want creativity, you want innovation, you want to grab new and upcoming things as they come out with speed, and you're willing to take the sacrifice, well, then you're a Windows PC and you're a Android person, and that's where I stand. And so that's pretty much the debate, and it's always there. And it hasn't changed for, gosh, 20-something years at this point. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll come back with more of Tech Today right after these messages.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, Celebrant Officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time. All right, we're back. You're listening to Tech Today on HuntingChamberRadio.com. And how could I pass up any follow-up on this story? The world of Ashley Madison and the world of hacking. And in one case, it's kind of interesting that this seems to be a little karma here. So an article here by TechCrunch says hackers are now going after Ashley Madison targets. John Briggs wrote this article on August 24th, and he says hackers have taken
to the 36 million email lists stolen during the Ashley Madison hack to attempt to extort folks who may or may not have been used the app to cheat. Brian Krebs has spoken to an admin in Milwaukee named Rick Romero, who has been actively blocking outgoing emails asked hack users to send a single Bitcoin to keep their accounts private. Hello, unfortunately your data has leaked in the recent hacking of Ashley Madison, and I now have your information. If you would like to prevent me from finding and sharing this information with your significant other, send exactly one Bitcoin, approximately $225, to the following address. And he sends a link. Sending the wrong amount means I won't know it's you paid. You have 7 days from the receipt of this email to send the Bitcoin. If you need help locating a place to purchase Bitcoins, you can start here. One user, Mac, told Krebs that the extortion would be very disruptive, but that isn't worried. So they have my home billing address and first and last name, so it would be relatively easy for them to get my home records and figure out who I am, he said. I'll accept the consequences if this gets disclosed, but obviously I'd rather not have the happy happen because my wife and I are both very happy in our marriage. Furthermore, it's slowly becoming clear just how the company is running its own hacking attempts against the competition. For example, in 2012, the founding CTO, Raja Bhatia, wrote that competitor Nerve.com was full of holes. They did a very lousy job building their platform. I got their entire user base, Bhatia said. Bitterman via email, including the message, a link to a GitHub archive with a sample of the database. Also, I can turn any non-paying user into paying user, vice versa, compose messages between users, and check unread stats. The leak, to say the least, is reaping some interesting and potentially problematic bounties for white hat and black hat hackers. So, Ashley Madison has been hacked, and there's a lot of people that are struggling now with the results of that. So hacking is becoming the Robin Hoods a little bit of the world in certain cases. But then again, there's dark hats where they are using it as an opportunity for extortion. You have to decide whether you've been on there and whether your information has been captured or not. And quite honestly, you know, everybody's got their reasons for doing what they're doing. But I keep telling people, in the world of internet, in the world of computers, nothing, absolutely nothing, gets deleted. It's all out there, somewhere, some way. And we're learning now that all of that can be captured and used against you at some point. So it's time for you to start deciding to clean up your trail. You might not be able to clean up what you've left behind, but you certainly can change your habits today and avoid making as big tracks and footprints as you have in the past. Eventually, the older stuff is just not of interest or not of use, or it's obsolete. But what is going on today is going to be around for a while, and you need to prepare for that. So make your decisions as to how you use your computer and what's being tracked, because it is all getting tracked, and you have to decide whether you're in the up and up when you're doing it. We finish up with Windows 10, and one of the downsides of Windows 10 at this particular moment, according to ValueWalk.com, is most torrent sites are banning Windows 10 users. Posted by Clayton Brown, he says that according to Microsoft Corporation, its new operating system, Windows 10, has had a relatively successful launch so far. I'll disagree a little bit on that, and I'll tell you a little bit about that in a minute. Not everybody is pleased with Microsoft's new OS, however, and many of the complaints involve the new no-privacy-at-all privacy policy associated with Windows 10. A growing number of one group of web users, BitTorrent sites, has gone so far as to ban access to their services to those who use Windows 10 because it is a privacy risk. Torrent Freak reports that several well-known torrent sharing sites are now preventing Windows 10 systems from accessing their services. Apparently, the owners of these torrent sites have concluded that Windows 10 collects and sends back so much identifying data back when Microsoft then unfortunately shares with its strategic partners. The torrent sites involved implemented stock software checks